So we're going to be working in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 today. And if I was going to point you to, and you all know this, but if I was going to tell you where to find a very clear place to explain the gospel to somebody, if you were coming to somebody and you were going to say, if someone said to you, what is the gospel? What is, how do I get the gospel? Where would you put them? What piece of scripture would you take them to? Well, there's several places you could talk about. You could take them to the book of Romans, where Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for all that who believe. Right? And we could take them to that scripture. But what's salvation? What's that all about? What's the gospel? Well, we know the gospel is the power of God, but what does Paul say? So in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, Paul gives us the gospel in five facts. I want you to just put your hand up, and I want you to say five. I want to get the number five today, and I like it because it's all five fingers, and we follow the five-fold ministry. We believe in the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So I want to give you the five facts of the gospel, and it's in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 11, and I'm going to start in, I'm going to read in the easily spoken version, but we love every version here. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. Thank God. Can you say amen that I'm glad that I'm being saved? I'm not just saved, but I am being saved. I'm living in a state of salvation. I'm not just saved. Amen. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain or emptiness. Well, I don't have an empty faith. Amen. I believe in the truth. I believe in reality. I'm not believing in nothing. For I delivered to you as of first importance, which I also received. All right, here's number one. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. So you can put out your thumb and say that Jesus died for me, for my sins, according to the word of God. Notice the word of God, Jesus died for me. So if someone comes to you, Dave, on the phone and you're talking to somebody or whatever it is, or someone's talking to you, or you meet somebody, the first thing you've got to tell them is that Jesus died for your sins according to the scriptures. So he just didn't die, and he just didn't die for your sin, but he died for your sin according to the word of God. This happened by God's plan and by God's pronouncement long before it happened. And then the second thing, he was buried. Now, the second part of it, that's number two. That would be that he was buried. Now, why did Paul make that important? Why was it important that you're buried? Well, if you're buried, that means you're really dead. It wasn't just a swoon. It wasn't just, those of you that are in apologetics, that's one of the things you have to deal with. If someone said, oh, Jesus really didn't die, he just fell, he just kind of knocked out and they put him in and he just kind of woke up. No, he was buried. He was dead for 3 days. He was put in the tomb. And another reason why being buried is very important is because that means we go from the realm of what we see to what we don't see. Because if you bury something, you put it out of your sight. Come on, let me say it again. Once you bury something, it's out of your sight. You can't see it anymore. And if you're talking to someone and you're saying, will you just get over it, bury that thing and get it out of your sight, stop acting like it's here when it's not. Bury it. Be done with it. And we need to live in a realm of faith and hope. And faith sees the invisible. And hope looks at the dead body and says what? It's coming alive. Now, it takes 3 days, because on the, what does it say here for the third thing? I love this. First thing is Jesus died. Second thing is Jesus was buried. And the third thing, that he was raised when now? On, come on, everybody, on what day? The third day, according to the scriptures. So God put Christ to death, or he was put to death by sinful men, according to the scriptures. He was buried, and he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. In other words, this is something that the Bible said would happen, and it did. Because when Jesus rose from the grave on the third day, we rose with him. When Jesus died on the cross, we died with him. And when Jesus was buried in the tomb, in the grave, we were buried with him. That's the third thing. But we don't stop with that. And this is where many times when people present the gospel, they leave out the next two things. Well, what are they, Pastor John? Glad you asked me that question. I'd like to know. All right. The fourth thing. Are you ready? He appeared to Peter. He appeared to the 12. He appeared. See how Paul is repeating it? He appeared to more than how many? 500 men and women. Anytime you see the word brethren, it means it's right. Yes, siblings. And most of them are still alive. So he appeared to them. So the fourth most important thing that we need to see is Jesus died, he was buried, he rose again, and he appeared to all the people at his time. But there's one more thing Paul said. He appeared also to me. That's the thing I want you to get. As the fourth thing. Many times that is not included. Now we learn in the scriptures that when a writer of the scripture like the Apostle Paul repeats himself, it means it's very important. So the repetition means you really better get this, because I'm going to tell you until you get sick of hearing it. It doesn't matter. You're going to get it because I want you to know. Paul is saying to them, he appeared. He appeared. He appeared. He appeared. It is not only a situation where we believe that Jesus died and he was buried and that he rose, but we also live in the reality that he appeared to me. He appeared to Peter, but he also appeared to me, to you, to you. It's very, very important. He goes, "For I am last of all, the one born..." Untimely. In other words, a child didn't come on its due date. That's what it literally means. The baby didn't happen on its due date. The timing was off. The baby was scheduled to come at a certain time. I missed the birth. So Paul is kind of calling himself an abnormal situation. "And he appeared also to me, for I'm the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted by the church of God. But here is number five. I, by grace, I am what I am." That's the fifth thing about the gospel. So we need to see that God just didn't do something in Jesus's life for us, but he did something with Jesus to us by appearing to us, and God is doing something in us and through us. I am what I am by the grace of God. Now, I'll tell you, when God appeared to me, it was August 28th, 1974. Jesus appeared to me in the form of a Swedish missionary to Africa visiting America. And those of you that live in the Northeast, Swedes talk very funny with a sing-songy accent. And I've told you this a million times. I was laughing at his accent until Jesus appeared to me in the words of this man. And then it was all different. It was all about Jesus. And he appeared to me. And I was untimely born. I was born at the wrong time because my real birthday is December 28th, 1956. But I was untimely born. I felt like, wait a second, I was spiritually born on August 28th, 1974, just a few years afterwards, right? But I'm so glad that I was born on that day because Jesus appeared to me. And now I am what I am by the grace of God. Now, in my generation, we grew up with a certain cartoon character. And some of you younger folks might have seen this somewhere along the line. But a certain cartoon character that we grew up with used to say that.
I am what I am, and that's all what I am. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man.
So I grew up with Popeye as a kid. So here you have now a connection that you will probably always blame me for, a connection between the Apostle Paul and Popeye. How about that? Pastor John, I never thought that would ever happen, that there would be now a connection between what Paul said and what Popeye said. Did you know that it was based on a real person, the artist? That's the guy. Those of you who are artists, that's the man that was friends with the artist who drew Popeye. Do you see just a slight resemblance? Do you know there was one other person that said that, I am what I am? God to Moses at the burning bush. When Moses said, here I am, and then God said, I'm going to send you, and he said, what's your name? God said, I am, is sending them. So God's name, here's the first thing I want you to see about this fifth aspect of the gospel, okay? God's name of I am is his faith name, his faith name. Now, what do you mean by faith name? Faith in Hebrews 11:1 says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The foundational truth of faith is that faith is always in the present tense. Always. Faith is now. So we love Brother Hagin. He would say, now faith is. Presently, faith is. You have faith in what God has already done in the past. We have faith in the present because of God doing something in the past. Can somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
We don't want you to get confused about whether it's past, present, or future, because many times I hear people say they have faith in something in the future. That is not faith. What is it? Hope. Hope is future tense. Faith is present. He doesn't have to do something now for you to have faith because he did it. Because Jesus died for me, I received faith when I encountered, that's the fourth aspect of the gospel, when he appeared to me, I had faith. Now I always have that. I will never lose it. I am living in the present. And psychologists tell you that's the best place to live, right? To live in the present? Well, that's where faith is. I think I'll live in the present. How about you? I don't want to be always living in the past because that's bondage. Who's in the past? God. That's where he needs to be. Always for you. And our confession is, our faith confession is, God is the I am in my life. And when the Apostle Paul says, I am, he is making a faith confession. I am, by his grace, what I am. Hear what I'm saying? I am what I am by his grace because of what he did for me. I am what I am by his grace. And the word that we hear a lot of times about that is identity. That's why I want you to write this down. So the I am statement is a faith confession, but it's also an identity confession. It's who you are. So I am is a faith name. It is our identity, and it is who we are. And it's based on what God has done for us, and that's called grace. Grace is what God has already done for us that makes us able to stand on the foundation of faith. You can't build anything unless you have a foundation. And the foundation of what we have is what God has already done. And then we build on it by saying our I am. I am what I am by God's grace. I am what I am. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says this. Look at this. For by grace you have been saved. Past tense. Through faith, it is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. The gift of God, it is not your own doing, is a perfect definition for grace. Right here, write it down, Ephesians 2, verse 8, grace is defined, it is not your doing, it's the gift of God. That's grace. It's when you can do something, not by you doing it, but by God gifting you to do something. So you got to hear me on this. Anything good that you have done, when did God set that up? It says beforehand. Who did it? He did it through you. You didn't do it.
That's right. That's right.
Now that, if that doesn't blow your mind, you don't have a mind. So, Lord, do it, man. Our lives, we are not the artist for our own lives. Let me say that again. We are not the artist for our own lives. We are not the construction person for our own house. Who has already built our house? God. We don't know what that house looks like. When we are born again, we begin to discover what the house looks like. But we don't even know what it's going to look like yet because God has already laid it out before the world was even founded. Before the foundation of the world, we were in Christ and he set our lives ahead for us to do what we're doing today. You're here right now because God determined it way ahead of time. Because I got news for you. If it were up to me, I would not be here preaching to you. If, you know, before I became a Christian, I would have chosen this place. I had a completely different situation and plan for my life before I got saved. Completely different. Totally different. I was a different person. I had different plans. People had different plans for me. I was expecting something completely different. And when the Holy Spirit showed up and I confessed, I am what I am by the grace of God, I was put on a journey of discovery of what God already has done for me in Christ. So that I'll begin to do what God has already designed for me. I didn't know what I was designed for until I met Jesus. And that's what you are too. You think back in your life right now, think of what you would have been if it weren't for Jesus and what you might be doing now if it weren't for Jesus. And you got to realize God had a whole different plan for you than you thought or your mom and dad thought, maybe. Now, sometimes God will reveal that to the parents. You know what I'm saying? And you should speak God's will over your children. Don't get me wrong. It's not for you to decide. It's for you to receive what the revelation is for what God wants for your kids. It's not up to you to shape your kids. It's up for you to bring the revelation of what God wants for them. You got to understand, we live in America, guys. Sometimes we have to stop and say, I live in America, and everybody in America does things sometimes a whole lot differently than what the God says in the Word of God. Don't just assume it's God just because you hear it in a Christian seminar. Because many times they're just worldly American ways put with clothing that looks Christian. They put Christian terminology on psychology, or they put Christian terminology on sociology, or they put Christian terminology on leadership. And next thing you know, you're doing things and you're wasting all your time when God says, if you would just spend time with me and trust me and know that I've laid out your life ahead of you, that you'll begin to walk in what I prepared for you. Stop wasting your time and your effort trying to be something that you're not. And begin to discover what God has for you. It is not what your motivational speaker wants you to be. It is not what some commercial interest wants you to be. It's not what some governmental agency wants you to be. It is not what some whatever wants you to be. And it's time to throw off every yoke and every sin that so easily besets you and run the race that God has put you on. You know, the world wants to tell the church what to do all the time. The world wants you to be a certain way and act a certain way and walk a certain way. Guess what? God wants you to walk in who you are in Him. Amen. And guess what? You don't always know what that is, so it's time to spend it with Him and let the Holy Spirit reveal it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. So faith changes your heart. Faith abides in your heart. It is the midsection. It's the armor that you carry right here. And 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 says this, but it has written. This is very, very important. What no eye has seen. Where is your eye? On your head or your heart? Your heads. Your physical eyes abide on your head. And no ear has heard. Where's your ears? On your head. It is not faith. Because you believe what you don't see with your eyes, and you hear what you don't hear with your ears. Faith is the eyes of the heart. Faith is the ears of the heart. And you don't hear the same way with your heart than you do with your head. Especially me. And you don't see with your heart the same way that you see with your head. And the problem is, we are so used to seeing with our eyes. And we depend on what we see instead of depending on the faith and the sight of our faith. We walk by faith, not by what? Come on, let's say it. Ready? We walk by faith and not by sight. Open the eyes of my heart. And what Paul says is what? These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. So you will not know with your natural mind what God has for you. You cannot know it. The only way you will find out who you are by the Spirit. That's the only way. And it's by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. God will begin to show you who you are. He will give you an identity. And you may be shocked. Who did God use in Paul? What was Paul before he got saved? What was he? A religious murderer. It wasn't who he was in God. He had an identity in God that he says, this is what you're going to do, Paul. He didn't say, like, there was no question. There was no, like, maybe you'll do this, maybe you won't do it. No, I will show him what this will happen to him, what he will suffer from my name. In other words, he will see it, what is going to happen. It wasn't like, well, if he really follows step 3-7, and if he does this course on how to maximize your life, and yet, you know what I'm saying? And if he really reads these four books and follows these principles, he'll really do what God wants him to do. That is baloney, guys. Paul says, this is what's going to happen to you, Paul. It's going to happen. Why? Because I said it. I prepared it for you from the foundation of the world. That's who you are. By his grace, I am what I am. By his grace, I am what I am. And what is grace? Not I, but the Spirit of God in me doing it. That's what grace is. That's when the Spirit of God says, you're doing this. And you're thinking, I don't know how I can do this. I don't know how this is going to work. But praise God, he's put the Spirit of God in you by faith. And you'll find yourself doing things. You're going, I cannot believe. You know, you'll say to yourself, I just can't believe I'm doing this. It's happening. Here I am standing in front of 10,000 people watching miracles, watching people get saved, watching people get healed. This is where I'm seeing this happen or that happen. You're seeing God do great things in your life. And you're saying, no way I could have done this. But how about saying, how about God's the only one that says, I am that I am. He's the only one that says, you are. And so when you say, I am that I am by the grace of God, what you're saying is I don't even know what I am. I'm still learning. And you're also saying is, I'm not going to sweat being what I am because I know that God made me just right. And you're also saying what I am that I am by the grace of God is, I ain't what you think I am because you're not the one that determines who I am. I'm sorry, that's a little bit snarky, but I mean, but it's true, isn't it? People try to control you by expectations. And sometimes we get judgmental because someone doesn't meet our expectation of what they should be. How about saying is, guess what? You're just what God made you to be. I accept that and I honor what God has in you. It's not my choice, is it? It's not my choice. So I can love you. Why? God made you who you are. Praise God. No pressure. No pressure. The second thing is, and this is the way the Hebrew language is. When God said, Heya, Asher, Heya, he meant also just as much, I will be what I will be. That's just the way the Hebrew is. It's just as much the future as well as the present. Now think about it. If God is sovereign in who he is, isn't he also sovereign in who he's going to be tomorrow? So if you're walking in an identity that God has made you to be now, won't you be in that identity tomorrow? Of course. You never have to worry about the future. So you don't worry about today and you don't worry about tomorrow. This destroys anxiety, by the way, if you walk in this. This destroys disappointment. Man, if I had just done that, I would be there. Guess what? Stop it. How about start confessing grace? I am what I am by the grace of God, Popeye. Aren't you glad you don't look like Popeye? But he is what he is by God's grace, right? The artist. But then the real man looks a whole lot like what the artist put up there. One eye. Should he be mad at God that he only has one functioning eye? How many of you have had a cartoon series seen the world over made up about you? Yeah, I'm not famous, are you? He is what he is by the grace of God. That means you can love people freely. It relieves you of the responsibility of running the universe. Isn't that nice? It relieves you the responsibility of trying to be something maybe you're not. Or trying to live up to an expectation. Like husbands, don't put an expectation on your wife other than what the Holy Spirit reveals. And wives, don't put an expectation on your husband other than what the Holy Spirit reveals. Let them be who they are by the grace of God. So, the I am is the present tense of faith, and the I will be is the confession of hope. And hope is our helmet. Hope is our helmet. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. Hope is our helmet because it guarantees. See, our mind tends to work in the future or in the past. And we need the hope as a helmet so that our faith will cause our mind to operate properly. If we walk by faith and not by sight, then we can rejoice in the future, even though we don't see it. Hope is our helmet because we have the Spirit as a guarantee for the future. Now I'm going to finish. Let's see, where is it now? 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 10. But by the grace of God, can y'all say that? I am what I am. Let's say it again. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not empty. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of the apostles. He's referring to the other apostles. I worked harder. So he found his life was a very hard working life. Now, that he says right there that it wasn't him that did it. On the contrary, I worked harder, though it was not I, but the grace of God that was with me. So he had a life of extreme hard work, but it wasn't his choice. It was God's choice. And he was just being what he was. So you may say, well, I haven't worked like that. Well, that's okay. But you are what you are by the grace of God. But so-and-so was working more or less. And it's not fair. I'm working harder than they are. Guess what? You are what you are by the grace of God. Why? It's not you doing it. It's the grace of God in you doing it. So you get free from the future because it's God who's working in you to take you there. So I know that when God says something over me prophetically, and he says, I'm going to do this, this, or this, or this, I know that I'm thinking, how is this going to happen? And God says, don't worry about it. I'll make it happen. We need to be free.
I just feel like I feel like wrapping it up right here. We just need to be free. It was not I, but the grace of God working in me. So we need to ask the Lord, God, forgive us for taking too much responsibility for what we do. How much responsibility should we take? None in that respect. I'm not saying, you know, like go out and tear a house down and say, well, it wasn't me, but Jesus in me. You can't arrest me. No, I don't mean that. But take the burden off yourself. Take the burden for being Superwoman or Superman. You're not it. Take the burden of always trying to, you know, break burdens of expectations off you. And you got to be careful, like when you have prophetic words, put them before the Lord, because if it's not the Lord, it can put an expectation on you that's not God. And you don't want that either. So you have to test the words that God gives you, you know, and receive them. Ask the Lord to set you free from over putting expectations on other people to be who they're not. Let them be who they are. I think the gift seminar was really good for us in that way, in a practical way. Just, I look at them and I say, they are who they are by the grace of God. I love that. And I know that God, you know, God set this church up a certain way. He put a lot of mercy people in this church. Maybe he felt sorry for me. I don't know. As pastor, you know, like, wow, all these mercy people. So can we just pray right now, just right where you're at? Maybe I'll sit at the piano and just play a little bit and just do a little time with God and ask God to set you free from expectations. Confess, number one, that you are who you are by the grace of God and that you will be what you will be by the grace of God. Because that's just as important. That's your destiny and purpose. Faith is who you are as your identity, but I will be as your destiny. Where are you going to be 20 years from now? By his grace? I don't know. Never thought when I left in 1985, I never thought I'd be back in Martinsville. I never thought I'd be teaching in a Bible school. When I was here in the 1980s, I never thought I'd be teaching Bible school. I never thought I could just think of all the things that God did. I was like, how in the world did that happen? I was like, only Jesus could have put me in that direction. And I thank God for it. It makes me very, very grateful. So make sure you take some time and thank him for all the amazing things he's done in your life. Doesn't matter how old you are, young you are. Just thank him, because you are who you are by the grace of God. Amen.